Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stand. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news this Wednesday morning. I really thought it was Thursday today, wishful thinking, but we're getting there. We're getting there with the international break, I suppose. But big news to talk about this morning, coming in from Europe, around Paul Pogba, Tuansebe, Cavani, Camavinga, and quite a few other things as well. We'll start off with Paul Pogba because it's coming from a good source in relation to Mino Raiola, which we'll talk about there, and Pogba's refusal to sign a new contract and still wanting to leave United, which isn't breaking news to many people, but will be upsetting news to many Man United fans who know the impact of losing Pogba. And I think that when we talk about Man United's summer that's coming ahead, most of us are thinking we're not going to have a great summer, even if Pogba stays. If he goes, it becomes a really, really bad summer. So we'll talk about that in a minute as well. I just want to say, though, there is some stories floating around about Man United getting a transfer boost from things that Romano has said. Romano did an interview yesterday with a website talking about Erling Haaland and basically just said that Manchester United, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would love to sign Erling Haaland. We're not going to sign Erling Haaland. Romano has not said Manchester United are going to sign Erling Haaland. There seems to be some people out there that think it's a good idea to misinterpret what Romano said to maybe get people to click their articles or whatever like that. Trust me, if Romano says we're signing Haaland, you'll get that first on the United Stand anyway, a proper reaction to it. But this has not been said, and it's dangerous because he didn't say that. He said it's difficult around Haaland to do a deal because his release clause doesn't kick in until next year. Also, the amount of money Dortmund will want for Haaland makes it very difficult. We just have to see. But of course, Manchester United, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer would love to sign Erling Haaland. There's nothing. Romano has not said anything about it, so don't start thinking anything about that. I will play a bit of Grand Theft Auto today, Vabaf, on my Twitch channel at about 1 o'clock, but that's for something else. Right, let's get into what we do know a journalist has spoken about. Fabrizio Romano, a disciple, some would say, of Demarzio. Demarzio, around the time... So how many years ago now? 4 years ago, Demarzio was basically what Romano is now. Demarzio was the transfer goat. And he was the one who was breaking the news about Man United getting Pogba, Man United getting Zlatan, Man United getting Mkhitaryan, very close connections with Mino Raiola. And I would say still has got good connections with Mino Raiola. He was on the TV yesterday. He was talking about various transfers and he said about Paul Pogba, Paul Pogba doesn't want to sign a new contract at Manchester United. Juventus would effectively be his preference. However, his wages are a barrier for Juventus. So very good update because it's just a clarification update, really. I don't think we need to stress too much, but I think it just puts a marker in the sand as to where we are around Paul Pogba. I'm not going to, you know, I think it's been great that Paul Pogba's not said anything on international duty. I think that was a surprise and a very pleasant surprise. We know Mino Raiola's spoken, but Mino Raiola can't keep his mouth shut for 10 minutes, let alone 2 weeks on an international break. But I think what we've got to do, where we are with Paul Pogba is where we know we are. And I think it's more about Manchester United this is. I mean, what are Manchester United doing? AS are saying that Chelsea and United are looking at Camavinga. Obviously, still playing for Rennes in the French league. Very good up-and-coming player, linked to Real Madrid, but apparently he's not too sure about Real Madrid because of Zidane's future. So therefore, Chelsea and United come into the equation. Look, if Paul Pogba leaves Manchester United and Manchester United bring in Camavinga, I can't moan about that too much. But the point remains, what are Manchester United doing about Paul Pogba? I said this at the start of the video and I'll say it again. If Manchester United keep Paul Pogba, I still think we're going to have a bad summer. We're not going to get a centre defensive midfielder to play next to Pogba. We're going to get a centre back and a striker, which makes us a little bit better, but I don't think it solves the real issues in the club, which is the midfield. If Pogba goes, not only don't we get a CDM, but we haven't got Pogba. I mean, that is a nightmare. We've seen over the last few weeks that, all right, Bruno's a very, very good player for us, but when he's got Matic and Fred or Matic and McTominay or Fred and McTominay behind him, it's just not good enough, is it? So at least we've always thought, well, when's Pogba back? Well, imagine next season when Pogba's not coming back because he's not here anymore. So what is the contingency plan for Manchester United? Because I think that, quite rightly, there is a marker in the sand again. In December, Mino Raiola came out and said Pogba's not signing a new contract, he's going to leave. Pogba obviously had a word with Ollie, professionalism, play till the end of the season and we'll sort it out. Pogba's done that. But here we are at the start of April. And again, that marker in the sand, 4 months later, is Paul Pogba wants to leave Manchester United. So despite all the good performances of Pogba, despite all the hope that he might sign a new contract, what we end up with 3 months later is he still wants to go. And is that going to change in the next 3 months? Because we're halfway through to when he's going to go, really. And halfway on from where he wants to go, he still wants to go. So as of today, Paul Pogba still wants to leave Manchester United. What are Manchester United doing about that? Contingency plan. Because they can't just be walking around with a contract saying, are you going to sign it yet? Are you going to sign it? Because he might not sign it. He's got the power. We've got no power in this situation. The only power Manchester United have, and it's not real power, is we're not selling you. Well, all right, okay, well done. Let's see how fit I am for the final year of my contract for one, and let's see what happens at the end of my contract for two. Because in January, I can talk to whoever I want outside of England, and I'm not staying in England anyway. That's 4 months away. And I'm telling you now, I ain't going to play for you much after January because I'm not risking my career getting injured playing for you. So United haven't got any power in this situation. The only power is that Pogba walks around Europe with Mino Raiola and realises he can't earn the money he earns at United, in which case he only stays at us for the money. I mean, is that ideal? So United need a contingency plan around Paul Pogba. Because, all right, you know, let's all hope that at some point, you know, we win the Europa League, we finish second in the league, United start making good moves in the transfer window. Pogba goes to the Euros, comes back and goes, you know what? I like what's happening at this club. I will sign a new contract. That's what we all want. But the chances of that happening at this moment in time are quite slim. We must have a contingency plan. Of course, I want Pogba to sign and stay for United because he wants to stay at United. I think everybody wants that. But as of now, it's very clear he doesn't want to do that. We can't just wait. We can't be that club that just goes, let's hope and pray that he decides to stay. Because if he doesn't, what are we going to do? Oh, we'll be fine with McTominay and Fred. It's not good enough, is it? So United need to take heed here that they have no power and they need to have a backup plan, because not buying a centre defensive midfielder is bad enough, but not having a plan to replace arguably your best player is a poor plan. So yeah, anybody who's joining us a little bit late, Pogba still wants to leave Manchester United. This is from DiMarzio, who obviously has got very good connections with Mino Raiola anyway. And look, as I've said many times before, we're not going to get a definitive answer on this until July anyway. He's not going to sign a new contract before then, and he's not going to be saying he wants to go before then, because I think they'll play in the Euros and they'll see what happens there. But in July is when it's going to kick off with Pogba. And also, sadly, can I just say, this is going to dominate our summer in the wrong way. Last year, it was trying to buy a player like Sancho and it dominated United's summer. This summer, it's going to be Pogba leaving. And that can take up a lot of our time, but it doesn't benefit us. Hope you and Robbie are okay. Saw all the abuse you got yesterday and it was unacceptable. When will these social media companies do something, says RMC6? Yeah, basically just people wishing I was dead. It's you know, not only was it a sad day that, you know, when somebody dies, like Claude, who is a football fan content legend, let's be honest with you, very, very sad day. You're dealing with that. You're speaking to people who are dealing with that in a very bad way. And then people are wishing you died instead. So, you know, welcome to the world of social media. It is what it is. But look, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. I mean, on that, all I would say is that, you know, I've probably died more times than a Fortnite member, really, you know, because I guarantee when people are playing, I guarantee whenever I'm in a game of sell, leave, kill, I bet I get killed all the time. I don't get the crap Ollie comes up with at times. Let's never sign Mbappe then, even if he wants to come just because he dyed his hair blue once. Idiotic, says Julian S. I don't know what that's all about Ollie. I think I do know what you're about, but I didn't read it, to be honest with you. So yeah, Pogba wants to leave. Let's move on. Cavani's back in training, probably will play on Sunday against Brighton. Thank God we've got football back on Sunday. I mean, not quite. I mean, Sunday will do. Sunday will do. Premier League football is back. That's the big thing. England play tonight and then we're back. And we're back for 2 months. And then I will watch England in the Euros. And then the summer transfer window's open. So if you've enjoyed this international break, some people do. If you've just, you know, if you're just recharging the batteries, enjoy recharging the batteries, because it's going to be relentless from this weekend all the way through until, I would say, August, really, because we've got we've got 2 months of wall-to-wall football with United, and then we've got the Euros, but then the transfer window kicks in, and then, you know, I don't even know when the transfer window opens. I don't even know when it closes. I need to do some research on that. But it's going to be very, very hectic, so fasten your seatbelts. Make sure you subscribe, bottom right corner. The Glazers are taking the fans for a ride and Ollie's at the wheel, says Andre. I just want to talk about Cavani first as well. And I want to talk about Tuan Sebi, and I want to talk about a couple of other things as well. So Cavani's back in training. Going to be very important for us at the weekend because we don't know what the situation is with Rashford and Martial. We don't know what the situation is with Martial. I thought we were going to get an update yesterday and we haven't had that. But what I wanted to say was that with regards to Cavani, his future doesn't look like it's going to be at United. We're looking for a striker. Cavani wants to play first team football. I think that must have been part of the agreement of bringing Cavani in, that he would be sort of first choice, and he has been, hasn't he? But I think many people are switching their heads on now and going, look, at the end of the day, Cavani is a player that everybody likes. Has it been a bad signing? No. Has it been a great signing? No. Has it been a decent signing for a year? Yeah, you know what? It was a desperation signing, but it's not been terrible for us. But to stick with it for another year when we know he's going to go in a year and we know he's injury prone and we know that we need to start building out the striking position, I think this summer is the time to let Cavani go. But I think he could have a very important part to play in the next 2 months. I still can't believe we finished third last season playing Pereira and Lingard for most of the season in the midfield, says Varane. Well, no, I wish Daily Blind a quick recovery from his leg injury, says Niall Gallagher. We do wish Daily Blind a recovery from his leg injury. But what I was going to come back to is that, well, we didn't play Pereira and Lingard for most of the season, did we? We would never have finished third if we hadn't have bought Bruno in. The team was doing shit. Ollie was nearly getting the sack, and then we bought Bruno, so that's why we finished third. Let's have that right. How about Pogba out and spend transfer on Rice or Samore, spend existing budget in sales on Haaland, Dembele on loan and Ramos on a free? God, Nathan, I like your positivity. Where are we getting 150 million for Haaland? And yeah, just forget about Haaland, basically, because you're just being led up the garden path. It's not going to happen. And all it does is benefit the Glazers and Woodward and everybody if you think we're going to sign Haaland, because it just gets them a load of exposure when they're incapable of doing it, and they won't do it. As I said, though, look, you know, there was a story here that from James Ducker in the Telegraph about Haaland, saying that Manchester United are interested in Erling Haaland, but they're not going to get into an auction. You know what this is like? This is like turning up to a vintage car auction, right? And you really, 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 really like, this Porsche, 1985 Porsche. You know, you've loved it all your life, right? And you're at the auction, and it comes into they drive it around a little bit, and people start bidding for this Porsche 1985 pristine model. And you brought your wife along, or your boyfriend, whatever, rocks your boat, and they're saying to you, are you not gonna bid, Ben? Because you love this car. You know, you've got models of it all around the house. No, I'm not going to bid. But you love it. It's your dream car. I know, but I can't afford it. Well, what are we doing here then? I just want to look at the thing I love. I just love it. So basically, you brought me out for a day out and a coffee and a burger just to watch a car go around that you're never going to buy. Yeah, but I love it. Great, okay. And that's what United are doing with Erling Haaland. They can't afford it. They're never going to get him. But it's like, ooh, we'd like it. And we're all meant to sit there like the boyfriend or girlfriend and go, so we like this thing, but we're never going to get it. Yeah, basically. So basically, you're mugging us off. You've brought us all this way and you admit that you really like it, but you're not going to buy it. That's basically it. Well, why don't you shut your gob and take me to Alton Towers instead? What have you brought me here for? Like, why are we looking at something you're never going to be able to buy? And that's basically what we're doing with Erling Haaland and Manchester United. Man United won't shut it down because it benefits them to be linked to a player like that that they won't buy. But, look, maybe I'm mocking the club a little bit. I am mocking them, because if they go and do it, it will show me and you that they're capable of doing that sort of deal. But the worst thing about it is, imagine if we went and spent £150 million on Erling Haaland. I mean, I'd be stunned. I'd be happy stunned. And I think we all would be. But very quickly, I would go, what the hell is going on at this club? We've spent £150 million on one player. and you could have spent that on three really good players. And that would be the level of incompetence that would just make me go from elation to absolutely what the hell is going on. Because to be honest with you, anybody with a brain, any manager with a brain, any fan with a brain, if your chief executive says, Ollie, I've got Haaland for you, 150 million plus 50 million in agent fees, 200 million all on Erling Haaland. It's for you, Ollie. I've done it. If I was Ollie, I'd go, I mean, Ollie'd be very happy because I love Erling. But I would actually say, hold on a minute, you've spent 200 million on one player. Yeah, for you. So you could have got me Jadon Sancho, Declan Rice and a centre-back. Basically, you could have got me Jadon Sancho, Declan Rice and Koundé for 200 million. Or Varane. And you've bought me Erling Haaland. Yeah, for you. Great, get Carricky in. We're having a party. Get the Lambrusco. But this is the thing. We're not doing it. And two, I've just explained why we shouldn't do it. Because if they have got that level of money, that money should be going somewhere else. I would rather let work on my defence and midfield than waste time buying a striker when we have Tony and Mason that can play there, says I'm Just Thinking. I think we do need a good striker. I think Erling Haaland's a fantastic striker. I just think we need to build a club. It's the old adage, isn't it? We need to bake a cake before we put the icing on it. I just think buying Erling Haaland would be buying a packet of icing and then spraying it on the ground because we haven't built a cake. Morning, Mark. Who would you choose between Pau Torres and Badiashile? Good question, Cabotron. And who do you think will start versus Brighton then, says Salah Ahmed? Well, we'll do that on the preview, Salah, but I do think Cavani will start because he's back fit and we need him. But if you want me to choose between Badiashile and Koundé... No, Badiashile and Torres. It's tough because I think both of those players don't start for United next season. I think if he buys Torres and Badiashile, he'll be there next season with Magaluf saying... Torres and Badiashile, they're training really well. Why have they played only 300 minutes in the entire season? Because they're training well. I don't think they go straight into the team. If I had to choose between the two, to be honest with you, I'd probably go Badiashile. Yeah. Because I don't actually buy the hype with Torres. I don't actually think he's as good as people are trying to make out he is. I personally think he's a fifth or sixth choice centre-back. And I think with those types of players... I don't think Ollie would pick them ahead of Lindelof and Maguire at the start, and I think they'd have to work their way into the team like Van der Beek. I want to see a centre-back that comes straight into the team, to be honest. That's what I want to see. Talking about centre-backs, very interesting this morning. I think it was Talk of the Devil podcast, which is through The Athletic. They were talking about Twan Sebi and saying that Man United will listen to offers this summer. Mark, did you rate Ronaldinho in his prime? Says I'm just... I think Ronaldinho is one of the best players I've seen in my lifetime. What a player. What a technical player Ronaldinho. The skill level was unbelievable. But going back to what I was going to say, so there's talk that we're going to listen to offers for Twan Sebi this summer. It's really funny because I only saw that headline this morning, but yesterday morning or afternoon or whatever it was, I was just sat thinking about Twan Sebi and I was like, I genuinely don't think this gets discussed enough about Axel Twan Sebi, because look, you've got to back your opinion. You have to back your opinion on things because that's life. My opinion on Twan Sebi is I may be completely wrong on this. I have been wrong about things. Look, it's just my opinion. But I am absolutely convinced that Axel Twan Sebi has the potential to be a top-class centre-back if we give him a chance. I don't think his loan move to Villa, where Villa fans loved him, was a fluke. I don't think his... man of the match performance in Paris against Neymar and Mbappe on his side of the pitch was a fluke. I think the mistakes he made against Istanbul and when he came on as off the bench for a couple of minutes, I think those things are understandable when you're not playing very often. But I really think with Twan Sebi, if he'd have been given the backing, he would have done a better job than Lindelof and Maguire this summer. I feel very strongly about that. And the worst thing is he actually has got the attributes that we need. He's got the pace, he's got the positional sense. Yeah, he's a bit rough around the edges, but he just never got backed. He never got a game because of the Maguire and Lindelof obsession. And I think we are going to let Twan Sebi go this season. And I'm absolutely stunned by it. The only thing I will say about Twan Sebi, and maybe this has been kept quiet, has he got an issue injury-wise? Because his injury, he was out for a year. And there was never really any statement about what injury it was that kept him out for a year, because to be out of football for a year, Van Dijk's not going to be out for a year, and he busted his knee up. So what was it that kept Tuansebe out for a year? Is there an underlying injury issue that stops United from really going to town and letting him have games? Or is it just an obsession with Wan-Bissaka, Magaluf, and playing the same players all the time rather than letting have somebody have game time? And look, we've seen Eric Bailly get very frustrated about it. So it could just be as simple as Oli bottles it and doesn't dare put Tuansebe in, because what if he makes a mistake? Well, I'm sorry, Maguire and Lindelof have made loads of mistakes. Wan-Bissaka's made mistakes. So there's been so many times Wan-Bissaka should have had a rest and Tuansebe could have played. There's been so many times where Maguire and Lindelof could have been rested and Tuansebe could have played. And he's not given him a chance. And if I was Axel Tuansebe and you are fit, mate, you should leave United. But I tell you what, it'd be a sad day when you do, because I genuinely think you have got the talent. I just don't think you've been given a chance. And it feeds into something else, I would say. I've always said this about Solskjaer. He never shuts up about the youth. Does he actually use it enough? I'm not saying he doesn't use it, but does he use it enough? Like Diallo, I think, could have been used more already. Greenwood has been used, but, you know, Greenwood was a player that's, you know, Greenwood could be anything he wants to be. Could have been used more, but yeah, Greenwood's been used. Brandon Williams came into the team last year. Soon as Luke Shaw starts playing, suddenly Brandon Williams is shit. Like, Brandon Williams was playing first team football for us over a year ago. All right, Luke Shaw's been brilliant, but you can't go from being first team to never getting used. And there seems to be a recurring pattern here that we get these players that get a glimpse, you think they look good, and you're like, all right, maybe they're not ready yet, but give them a bit of game time, and they don't get used. And I don't personally think Solskjaer does use the youth enough. I don't think he does develop the youth enough. I think we do hear about these players, but do they use them enough? And I think with Tuansebe, it's really a shame. He has to go, because what is he now, 22, 23? You know, he's not a youngster anymore. You've got to cut him loose and let him go and play first team football at that age. But would not surprise me, unless there's an injury issue, in which case, look, you know, I stand corrected. But it wouldn't surprise me if Tuansebe left Manchester United and went and played for somebody like a Brighton or an Aston Villa and did really well, and we went, why did we not use him? I think he has got that talent, and it really is surprising. Can't see United selling both Tuansebe and Bailly. Only one will go, I think. I think Henderson will start on the weekend, as he played well when De Gea was off, says Salah Ahmed. Well, if Oli picks Henderson at the weekend, then Oli picks Henderson at the weekend. I think, without getting passionately involved in it, because at the end of the day, it's up to Solskjaer what he does, but I think it would be bordering on stupid to drop David De Gea from league games. I mean, at the end of the day, I think it would be wrong. I think it's a disservice to somebody that's been a very, 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 very good player for us over the last few years. But let's not forget, David De Gea was man of the match in his last game against Chelsea. He went away because he's, for compassionate reasons, he comes back into the team. He should be the Premier League goalkeeper, because we've been sold all season, Premier League goalkeeper is David De Gea, cup keeper is Henderson, and that's been done fairly. But to then go, right, David, now you're dropped, you've had a kid, I don't think that's right. But also, the most important thing about that is, if he does do that, and why I think it's stupid, it's not because I don't rate Dean Henderson, it's because what a stupid... It's like handing Solskjaer a contract out now instead of waiting till the end of the season. Because what if everything goes wrong and the contract should never have been given out? If Solskjaer wants Henderson to be his first choice goalkeeper from next season, right? You need to keep the value of David De Gea up high for the summer, right? You don't go and drop David De Gea weeks away from the season ending and the transfer window opening, because you've just wiped off 20 million off his fee anyway. You've just told the world you don't want David De Gea anymore. The best thing Solskjaer can do is keep David De Gea in goal for the Premier League and Dean Henderson in goal for the Cup until the end of the season, even if he's made his mind up, because in the summer, you then try and sell one, but you sell them from a position of, well, no, they're not second choice. I've been using one in the league and one in the Cup. I like them both. They're both first team keepers for me. I want first team price. That's why it would be stupid to choose, when you haven't chosen all season, right before the transfer window, to choose, you're going to drop the value of both. And look, what if he did it the other way? What if David De Gea is in goal on Sunday and then he's in goal for the Europa League as well? And Henderson gets dropped. Well, you know, if Henderson goes in the summer, you've just dropped his value as well. So we need to be clever. All season, we've done this, I disagree with, fairness about splitting it down the middle. Don't go and not split it down the middle a few weeks out from the transfer window. Welcome to the Members Club, Matthew. But I wouldn't be surprised if he did, Salah. I wouldn't be surprised if he did do that. Romero's going to go in the summer for free. I think his contract ends. Bruno is completely overrated for his top skills. Although, I don't know what that's all about. Mark, do you think they are more looking to develop Mengi and cut ties with Twansebi, or is Mengi going to be another Twansebi? Is Garner's fate the same to Steve Locke? I think if I was any Manchester United young player under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I would have concerns, because when are you going to get the game time? I think when you look at Solskjaer over the last 2 and 3 years he's been at the club, when does he ever grab a youth player and just chuck them into the team other than Greenwood? And let's be honest, Greenwood is clearly a one-off talent. Like, he can be anything he wants to be. Like, Twansebi's not been given a run of games even. What should have happened after Paris is Twansebi should have got a run of games. You don't play man of the match against Neymar and Mbappe and then not play again for weeks. Like, that was ridiculous. So, Brandon Williams is another example as well. Look, they've just not been used. And the reason they don't get used is because Solskjaer puts his foot down on the Ferrari and just blasts whatever he's got. You know, we've seen it with Bruno, we've seen it with Rashford, we've seen it with Maguire, we've seen it with Wan-Bissaka. He just will try and put out his best team he can 3 times a week for as long as he can get away with it, because he won't use other players because he doesn't want to lose, which is fine. But if you're a player trying to get game time, Twansebi's best chance of a future is to get away from United. But the sad thing is, I think he could have had a future at United. From James' interview, he said United can take a risk by spending $200 million, but they won't. But Chelsea and City are taking risk and successful thoughts as run it. Well, I think what James Cooper was talking about there is that Manchester United can and have the funds to go and spend big in the summer, but they won't. It's not about taking a risk. It's not that they don't want to take a risk. It's that they don't want to spend the money that can go as dividends to the owners. That's what it is. We're a business. It's not about not wanting to take a risk. It's about not wanting to spend the money. Manchester United could spend $150 million this summer. They could probably spend $200 million this summer. But they won't do it because they want to keep as much money in the club as they can. United goalkeeping team situation is weird, says Emil. Yeah, it is. It is a weird situation at Manchester United in relation to the goalkeeping situation. And it must be resolved in the summer one way or another. I think we could all agree with that. Please smash a like on the video, by the way. So glad Bellingham didn't come to United, says Pranshu. Yeah, well, Bellingham wouldn't have played the first team football. He's played for Dortmund. He made the right choice. He did. Just on that very, very quickly. Good goal by Dan James last night ahead of Steve. Sorry, I didn't really watch any international football last night because I was playing Football Manager promotion. But I did see the goal, and I did try to get in contact with Ricky, but his wife said he's running around the garden with his T-shirt around his head, so couldn't get to speak to him about that. But I think he's stopped now. But no, I mean, look, Dan James, interesting next few months for Dan James. Another player that was in the first team before the break. Will he stay in the first team afterwards? Again, I mean, realistically, it's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard to read Solskjaer, because we had Dan James in the team until pretty much Dan James was playing until about October. He was in the team every now and again, wasn't he? Then from November till January, he couldn't get a look in. He was like on the bench and Ollie looked behind him and went, yeah, I'll stick with what I've got. Then he used him and he's done all right again. And it's like, it's so contradictory. It's so hard to know. Like, whatever your opinion is, a fan, and we've all got our opinions on Dan James, you know what mine is. I think he's a limited player. I think he's got his attributes. I do agree with Ricky that he puts a shift in and he's dangerous if he's got space to run into. But I think, you know, against a low block, he's almost redundant, really. But it's hard as a fan to have your own opinion, because then you have your own opinion and then you know what your manager's opinion is. And you'll agree with your manager on some points, but you won't on others. That is life. But with Ollie, I don't understand a lot of what he's doing. I mean, I don't really know what his opinion is on Dan James, because he was out and then he was in and then he's in again. You know, I don't know. But a good goal for him last night. Would you take Sionku, quick, strong and Premier League proven? I would, but it's a hypothetical, Luke Taylor. Thanks for the super chat, because we're not going to get Sionku. So it's basically like saying to me, you know, would you take Fofana? Yes, I would, but we're not going to get him. So, you know, I think we've got to look at players that are realistic for Manchester United to get. Dan James isn't actually that young anymore. He's not that young anymore. I think he's 24 this year, isn't he? But look, he could be really useful for us. A lot of people saying he's crap. A lot of people saying he's underrated. A lot of people saying he's good. So that's the thing, isn't it? What we need to wait and see is what Solskjaer's decision on Dan James is going to be, because I know for a fact that we were looking to move him on in the summer transfer window and Dan James didn't want to go. So now it's like, well, what's going to happen with him? We'll have to wait and see on that. But I did, just going back to the Bellingham conversation, which brings us back to Haaland. Again, I read somewhere yesterday, I think it might have been the Manchester Evening News, that United decided not to sign Erling Haaland from Salzburg 14 months ago, because they didn't like the release clause or some of the financial demands that Raiola was making. But this is bollocks. This is bollocks. This is a story that comes out to try and deflect the fact that he chose Dortmund over us. I personally think the evidence is there, and I think Haaland even mentioned it himself, that he chose Dortmund over Manchester United. And if Manchester United decided that they didn't want Haaland because of release clauses and financials, well, why are we back in for him now when he's going to be 10 times expensive and there will still be release clauses in there? It exposes the lie, because we could have done this deal 14 months ago. If it was about money, why are we back in there now? So we didn't, in my opinion, we didn't get Haaland because he didn't want to come to Manchester United. And he probably didn't want to come to Manchester United for many different reasons. But one of the best reasons would be the Bellingham example. We wanted Bellingham and he didn't come to us. Now, look at what Bellingham's done. He's only 17 and he's gone to Borussia Dortmund with a very good set of midfielders at Dortmund. They've got some good options in there. And yet he's playing first team football for Dortmund in the Champions League, having only just signed for them at 17. If he'd have signed for Manchester United, I'd guarantee he'd hardly played any football this year. I mean, Van der Beek can't get in the team, so how would Bellingham at 17 get in the team? He'd be one for the future who's training well, and you know it. You know it. We've just spoken about Twansebi and Brandon Williams and how they can't get any game time, as if we would have played Bellingham at 17 in that midfield. Even though we would have been crying out for it, it wouldn't have happened. So I think that Erling Haaland and his coaches and his dad and everyone looked at it and went, look, Man United's a fantastic club, but if you go to Dortmund, and what Dortmund do, and I think this is why Dortmund get players over us, I think Dortmund in their negotiations say, look, we know you're talking to Manchester United, but we will actually play you. You will play over 30 first team games next season for Dortmund, and you'll be playing Bundesliga and Champions League football. And Manchester United can't offer that. So this is why we didn't get Haaland. This is why we didn't get Bellingham, is because Dortmund can say, you will play first team for us, and United, it's like the old FIFA negotiation, isn't it? Where the agent says, what is their role? And I think Dortmund say crucial first team player, and Man United go, sporadic. You know? And I think that's what happens. And therefore, as a footballer, it doesn't matter whether you've grown up with Manchester United kits or not, you're going to go and play where you can play, because that's what people want to do. And that's why we didn't get Haaland, and that's why we didn't get Bellingham. Realistically, if we sign Haaland, Koulibaly and Camavinga, would you say that is a successful summer? Hamish, you've just spent £300 million. I'm not even going to react, because it's not going to happen. Like, we're not signing Haaland, Camavinga and Koulibaly. It's not. I can't even answer that, because of course it's a successful summer, but it's never going to happen. If Ollie has to be sacked tomorrow, who would you think would be the ideal appointment, says Subbo? Well, he's not going to be sacked tomorrow, is he? I'm not going to start disrespecting the manager in that sense, because it's hypotheticals again, isn't it? But what I have said, and I've said it before, so I'm not speaking out of turn, is if we change a manager at any point in the next 2-3 years or year or whatever, I don't want an ex-player in the club. I'm tired of this old boys thing. Oh, let's get Fletcher in to be a technical director when he's never done the job before. You know, I'm tired. Let's get this fitness coach in who used to play for the club. I'm tired of all this. We've tried it and it's not worked. I don't want to try it again. We've tried the, you know, wrong fit but biggest personality manager in Mourinho. We've tried the Premier League manager in Moyes, and we've tried the old tactician in Van Gaal. What I would like United to do next is go and get the best up-and-coming manager. You know, like Spurs did with Pochettino? I would like us to go and try that. Somebody who's proven at a high level, who is ready to take a step up. A little bit like Bruno at Sporting Lisbon, but not as a player. A player that's performed, that everyone talks about, but is not at a big club yet. And the one that jumps out to me is Nagelsmann. That's the one that jumps out to me. I would like to see us do that. But you know what? By the time Solskjaer's gone, it might be 3 years' time. It might be a year's time. It might be 4-5 years' time. So in that time, there might be another manager coming through. And there are other managers other than Nagelsmann. But I don't want to do the Allegri or the, you know, the Pochettino. I don't want to go and do somebody else's manager I think you've got to get somebody that's gonna. I mean, this is what I mean. To be honest with you, I've just described Sir Alex Ferguson. I mean, this is what we did with Sir Alex Ferguson. He was managing in Scotland, had a very big reputation, but you know, really wasn't doing it at the very big, you know, in the very big leagues. Although the Scottish League back in the 80s was a lot bigger than it is now. That and he was, you know, a young up and coming manager with a lot of ideas, and I think that's what I'd like to see United do next. But look, I still hold hope that Solskjaer will do well. Neil Warnock, yeah. I don't want Ryan Giggs, I don't want Steve Bruce, I don't want Roy Keane, I don't want Gary Neville, I don't want an ex legend again. I don't want that, and I don't want like a Mourinho again or anyone like that. I want somebody with a vision who's exciting, who's going to get the time and be given the backing to do it. Which is why I still hold hope for Solskjaer, because although he doesn't excite me, I still feel that he needs a little bit more time to end his journey. Hypothetically, if Ollie gets sacked within the next year, will all backroom staff go as well, or will they be kept on? They are not good enough for me, says Salah Ahmed. No, I mean, that's a great point as well. The backroom staff should go. Every other club, well, most other clubs, when they sack a manager, it's bye-bye backroom staff. You all go. And we obviously didn't do that when Mourinho went. Like, Carrick was kept on. So, like, I'm not saying Carrick should have got the sack. Carrick is... the reality is, the reason Carrick stayed is because United are trying to build this boot room thing that Liverpool used to have in the 80s, where you keep people in the club who know the club. And you just... At the end of the day, if this doesn't work with Solskjaer, you clear house for me. You clear house. But United are trying to... hypocritically, United are... I can see what United are trying to do. They're trying to have stability all the way through the youth to the first team. And they're trying to, you know, they're trying to litter it with people who know Manchester United. But we've just gone and lost last week somebody who is absolutely intrinsic in all that, Nicky Butt. So... for all this obsession about continuity and DNA, we've just, last week, somebody walked out on that system, who was quite a big part of that system. So clearly that system's not working as well as United think it is. Man City got the whole Barca set up along with Pep and found themselves an identity. Why can't we do that with the structure we have, says Subbo? Well, I think that the conflict with United's DNA is that United think that by bringing people in from the past, it's going to serve them well in the future. But what did Sir Alex Ferguson do when he came in? Did he keep people from the past, or did he bring his own people in, or did he do a mixture of the two? The past isn't always the now, is it? You know, you've got to evolve. What about building a new Manchester United system? I mean, I don't know. It's open for debate, isn't it? Mark, I've become Ollie agnostic these days. Think it won't make a difference if we bring in Nagelsmann, Zidane tomorrow if they don't get their players, says Jibak. And that's obviously very, very important. What good does it do to look back at Sir Alex, Mark, says Fullback? Well, to be honest, absolutely nothing. It doesn't do any good because Sir Alex Ferguson is not a United legend when he came into the club. He wasn't a United old boy. He hadn't played for United. He didn't have United DNA. He came down from Aberdeen and he built what we now call the United DNA. So what a contradiction that is. We're trying to build the DNA of United from a manager that wasn't United. He came down, a very exciting, full of ideas manager who rebuilt this football club. Now, he rebuilt this football club by walking in and going, I know everything about Sir Matt Busby. I know everything about Manchester United, but I'm not a Man United old boy. But I want us to play entertaining football and I want us to bring youth through, but I want to do it in the way I want to do it and I'm going to rebuild this club. Why could you not do that with a Nagelsmann or a Ten Hag or someone like that who comes in and goes, look, I know everything about Man United. I've studied them. I love the club, but I'm not a United old boy. But this is what I envisage over the next 15, 20 years. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to restructure it. It's evolution. It's not revolution. It's evolution. Somebody comes in who knows what the principles of the club are, but build it in their own way. And that's what Sir Alex Ferguson did. But now we're obsessed with, you've got to have the DNA. You've got to have the DNA. You're trying to get the DNA of a manager who rebuilt the club from not being a United old boy. So what is that not a contradiction? How about you bring somebody in who understands the core values of what United is, bringing youth through, fast, entertaining football, but has their own ideas in the modern world about how to build the club within those principles? That's what I think would be important. They don't get the time, says Gershom. Well, yeah, football time now is definitely of the essence. You're right there. The Glazers won't spend on a manager if we're getting top four, says Paul Lucas. I don't think we can bring Steven Gerrard down from Scotland. He used to play for our biggest rival, to be fair. Anyway, look, I could talk and talk and talk, but thanks everyone for watching. Please smash a like on the video. We will be back later on. A bit earlier tonight, I'm going to be live at 7 instead of 8 because I'm doing an England versus Poland watch-along, which is 7:45. So I'll be live at 7 o'clock tonight instead of 8 o'clock, but there will be a 7 o'clock show tonight. Sir Alex brought in Archie Knox, but Ron Atkinson brought in Eric Harrison, says Simon Pope. And we need Goldbridge Bull. If you know, you know. And Mark, do you see us succeeding with these coaches? My easy answer to that is I don't see us succeeding with these owners. And I think that's always the thing. That's the core principle, is that we don't get the full backing of our managers. And even the money they do spend, like a lot of United fans will say it, but I'll leave you with this. A lot of United fans will say it, and a lot of our rivals will say it. You talk about not spending money. You've spent nearly £1 billion since Sir Alex Ferguson retired. But how many of those signings were actually first, second or third choices of our managers? And the truth is, when you listen to Van Gaal, when you listen to Mourinho and you listen to Moyes, they all say they didn't get the players they wanted. Ollie obviously says he does because he's still in post. But when Ollie gets sacked or retires and a few years afterwards and tells you the truth, I think he will say the same. You don't get the players you want in that club. So you can spend money, but if you're not spending it on what the manager wants, then, you know, you may as well have not spent the money in the first place. Please subscribe, by the way. We're getting close to 11,500, as you can see in the top right-hand corner. And I will see you a little bit later on. Thanks for watching. Smash a like on the video and I'll talk to you soon. Have a good day. Stay safe and talk to people if you're not feeling great. Really important.